Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Monday morning, January the 26th, 2026. How about that? 1:26:26. 14 minutes past the hour. Very snowy and cold Monday morning. Marion's still under a level 3 snow emergency, as far as I know. Snow accumulation totals for Marion are different depending on who you talk to. Some people are saying anything from 6.9 inches to 13.5. National Weather Service is saying 4. Be safe, whatever you do. And I should mention, we are broadcasting from the home studio. So if for some reason we would become disconnected for any reason, let me know, we'll get it fixed. So, or if we go out, just hang on a second and we'll get reconnected. Now, the phone line to call, because we are from the home studio this morning, 740-751-4038. And it's my understanding people who are listening are hearing this program okay, so I'm happy for that. But the phone number, 740-751-4038. And we are getting some reports from people who are out plowing, or people who are watching people out plowing. You know, some driveways are being plowed in. Hard for cars to get up and down streets as opposed to trucks, things with four-wheel drive. So just be safe with the level 3 in place. And if you want to say anything about the snow again, the phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
City Hall is closed today?
You know, it might be. I haven't heard that, but it could be.
Well, with all of the closings, you would think that city council would not be held.
Well, that could come as the day goes along. I don't know. I haven't heard anything yet, but it could happen.
Well, gee whiz. We got all these poor garbage men collecting our garbage in that working. You know, cops don't necessarily, I mean, they're at least inside their vehicles with heaters on, but these guys riding on the back of the garbage trucks out in the elements, you know?
Well, six degrees right now.
I wish I knew how many guys were out on the cruise today. If I would know, I would have made a trip to Buckeye Donuts and bought them all a maple bacon donut, you know?
Yeah, they're out there. I did not think they would be out this morning under a level 3 with 6 degrees, but apparently they are.
Yep. Well, hey, more power to them.
Yeah. Yeah, thank goodness for them.
Yeah, so we're expecting how much more snow, did you say?
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot expected in the next few days. I think it's kind of just dustings. I don't see any big thing accumulations coming up.
Do we have ice skating anymore anywhere in any of the parks?
Not that I'm aware of, unless it's a makeshift type of a thing.
I mean, what is it that's over by the hospital? That's McKinley, right?
Yeah.
There still is a pond there, isn't there?
You know, yes, I think there is, yes.
Yeah, with all this weather, gee whiz, the rec department ought to clear that off and have skating out there. Although, how many people actually skate these days, you know? But it would be interesting to see.
I used to have a professor at Ohio State I guess it was a little pond out in front of the library, would freeze over. He would go out there and ice skate. I don't know. He must have been into that.
Who was that?
Oh, I can't remember his name. You know, back then we only had these professors for quarters. I forget half of the people's names.
Oh, geez. Gordon Albrecht, he headed up the ski club. We never had much snow to really go skiing and stuff. But
Gordon actually put shoes on?
I guess. We never had snow when I was going out there enough to go skiing.
I never saw Gordon in anything but sandals.
I seriously doubt he would have wore his sandals.
Why, I never saw him in anything but the sandals.
Exactly. Even in winter, he wore those sandals.
He never changed. I always thought that was one of those, what did he teach? Was it chemistry? No.
Physics. He was a high-energy physicist.
Yeah. I just always thought that was one of those quirks. He was a quirky guy.
Well, he was a pretty cool guy. Did you ever have any of his classes?
I did.
And I got to believe, he at the end of the quarter or somewhere in the quarter, he had his chili for his classes.
Yeah, I do remember that. He was an interesting fellow.
Hey, he was a fun guy. He was an extremely intelligent guy. And he introduced me to the band, and physics and the band is what I have to be appreciative of what he taught me.
There you go, the late Gordon Albrecht.
Gordon Albrecht, and we've had some good instructors out there. David Satino, Marvin Bratt, I'm trying to think of his name, Glenn Rothman, art teacher.
I think the guy who used to ice skate, I think his name was Pete Dully. Pete Dully, I think.
Wow, I never heard that name when I was out there. But anyway, no, it would be a good thing to do something with the rec department. I mean, do we still have a rec department?
Well, I think we have people who take care of that. I mean, the rec center's open again.
Now, where is the rec center?
Behind City Hall.
So they moved it back to City Hall again. I guess they would have had to because the new airport wasn't designed to accommodate what little closet space they had at the old airport building when they shoved parks out there. So... Oh, geez, Marion. Not so strong a town as what they would have you believe over the summer.
Well, we'll see as we go down the road now with the new auditor and all that.
Yep, well, we can only hope for a better tomorrow.
Right, and right now the YMCA operates the rec center, so there is that.
Oh, they do?
They do.
Well, That's good. I wonder if there's any crossover of people going to the rec center to be able to go out to the YMCA.
You know, I don't know. I think, you know, they're trying to be very kid-oriented right now, so it's hard to tell.
Oh, one thing. With all the snow we have, I wonder if anybody's over at Morbitz Hill in Lincoln Park sledding. At the Harding Memorial sledding.
I would imagine if you didn't see it yesterday, you'll probably see it today.
Day or tomorrow, anyhow.
Yeah, as soon as people can get out and get around, I think maybe when the level 3 dissipates, you'll see that.
Well, we can only hope.
We'll see.
Do it better tomorrow.
All right. And we were talking earlier about the second shooting in, or the second death, I should say, in Minnesota. We did get a message from one of our listeners out here this morning, Phil, as we were going to break. It says, if what Preddy did was worth the death, was worthy of death, there should have been dead bodies all over the Capitol, and I'm sure many were legally armed. So there we go with that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. How are you on this snowy, cold Monday?
Well, I would like to be able to go back to school today, but... I don't know about that with these roads.
Well, yeah, it's a little rough out. Have they canceled school?
They canceled school today, but I've got 4 classes tomorrow, so I need to get back down there. But I don't know. I have faith in ODOT.
They'll get the roads clear between here and there.
Yeah, but the issue is the wind and the drift. I saw the windshield's going to get down to like negative 20, and it's going to be real windy. But who knows?
The drifting's going to be difficult, and the temperatures are going to make this storm stick around for quite a while.
I know, but I don't know. I just remember I was on, I think, few days after the first shooting, and I remembered that the big point of contention was she was going to run the ICE officer over, and as more, you know, camera angles came out, it was revealed that she, you know, her wheel was cut all the way to the right away from the officer. She was trying to get away. And then, you know, now we've seen again from several different angles that this guy who was shot 2 days ago, killed 2 days ago, completely disarmed by law enforcement. He was getting beaten up on the ground senselessly. He was defenseless. And then, yeah, they shot him in the back however many times. And, of course, the narrative from the government is he was a domestic terrorist. He shouldn't have been bringing a gun to a protest. I've seen people say, who brings a gun to a peaceful protest? And, you know, there's several things wrong with that. I mean, there's the fact that, you had Kyle Rittenhouse and the George Floyd protests. You had January 6th, everyone had guns there. You see people open carry all the time. So, you know, I thought we had a Second Amendment right in this country. It seems like, you know, when the Trump administration came in last year, they wanted to get rid of our First Amendment rights. Now they want to get rid of our Second Amendment rights, which you would have never seen that coming. So my prediction for next year is that we'll be quartering troops in our homes by Halloween.
Well, I'll tell you, it certainly is becoming hugely unpopular, what is going on in Minnesota. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why nobody sees this as a big problem. I mean, what is the end game in continuing on with this, with two people dead under questionable circumstances? What's the reason at this point? I mean, what's the goal here?
I think the people making decisions at DHS, at ICE, in the federal government, really are still missing the mark. Like, they think this is completely okay. They still think, you know, this is we're trying to get rid of, you know, illegal immigrants. We're still trying to protect whoever. I don't know. But, you know, I don't think this is, you know, this isn't going to end. It's only going to get worse. And I don't think it's going to end until, I don't know. But, I don't think you can just have, you know, Democratic governors and Democratic mayors stand up at press conferences and give strongly worded statements and throw in F-bombs to, you know, try to make a point. I think it's, you know, you deploy your own police force. You deploy your state's National Guard to, you know, protect the protesters and to, you know, protect your state from these, you know, federal invaders who seek to do you harm. I mean, they have killed two people. They have executed two people for the, you know, high crime of disagreeing with the president and for, you know, being outside. Like, and I guess in the case of the guy the other day, the high crime of, you know, carrying a gun in, you know, a country where we have a Second Amendment. So I don't see this ending anytime soon. I really don't know, you know, how it will. I hope it ends peacefully, but it hasn't gone peacefully, so I don't know why it would end peacefully. But I don't know. I would be curious, you know, if we get to November, one, if we'll still have elections, and two, how, if, you know, the Democrats were to do well in those elections, is there anything they could do, you know, in Congress to prevent this from happening?
Well, it's interesting. One of our listeners out here this morning saying, I don't recall the visibly armed protesters in front of the Michigan State Capitol being shot down.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we even had that. There was some Ohio State House reporter, and Scott, I think you were there, to stop the steel protest.
Oh, I was there. Yes, it's, yes.
Like there were armed protesters there, and there was no bloodbath on Capitol Square. I mean, so I, you know, it's just really insulting that the people in the federal government think no one has eyes, and I know that 45% of the country will act like they don't have eyes, and that they will, you know, just go along with whatever the narrative is. But I just, it's just scary.
Well, here's the problem: when the last shooting happened, no matter how people saw the video footage, and no matter what the narrative was, it was clear to me that the way it happened and the protests that were breaking out, that this was not going to get any better. And I don't know why people did not see that as a gigantic red flag that we have got to do something here. We have got to fix this problem because it continues to escalate. And now it's escalated to another person being shot and killed under even more suspect circumstances. And apparently it's not going to be investigated. And so now we've turned the notch up another notch, for lack of a better term. So I keep saying, what is the end game? What exactly do you want to do?
You know, politics is such an optics game, and this is an optics president. And, you know, you were talking earlier about the, you know, the offer that Pam Bondi made to Minnesota, like, you know, give up your voter rolls and then we'll, you know, prevent a national tragedy, which that in and of itself, you know, if you don't, you know, basically give up, then we're going to keep shooting people. We're going to keep murdering people. I mean, that's not good, to state the obvious. And, you know, I just think that the federal government is, you know, trying to push the state of Minnesota, who, you know, who is led by one of the president's chief political opponents, most prominent political opponents, into submission and really, you know, just into giving up to, you know, prove that somehow the Democrats are weaker, that Trump is stronger. And to achieve that goal, they are going to do whatever necessary, which obviously is, you know, kill innocent civilians and try to pin it on, you know, rhetoric and the Democrats and all that. You know, I think that's the end goal, to strong arm Minnesota and the Democrats there into some sort of submission.
Well, I think it's very interesting. And we're being told this morning that they activated the Minnesota National Guard to help protect the citizens from ICE. Now, imagine that. And by the way, you don't see this very often. 15 hours ago, President Bill Clinton released a statement, January 25th, 2026. It's short, so here it is. In recent weeks, we've watched horrible scenes play out in Minneapolis. And after communities that I never thought would, and other communities, excuse me, that I never thought would take place in America, people, including children, have been seized from their homes, workplaces, and the street by masked federal agents. Peaceful protesters and citizens exercising constitutional rights to observe and document law enforcement have been arrested, beaten, targeted, and most searingly in the cases of Renee Good and Alex Pretty, shot and killed. All of this is unacceptable and should have to be avoided. To make matters even worse, at every turn, the people in charge have lied to us, told us not to believe what we've seen with our own eyes, and pushed increasingly aggressive and antagonistic tactics, including impeding investigations by local authorities. Over the course of a lifetime, we face only a few moments where the decisions we make and the actions we take will shape our history for years to come. This is one of them. If we give our freedoms away after 250 years, we might never get them back. It's up to all of us who believe in the promise of American democracy to stand up, speak out, and show that our nation still belongs to we the people. Former President Bill Clinton yesterday.
You know, I don't. I it concerns me that that didn't come right after the first shooting. I'm concerned that, I don't think President Obama has released anything. You know, I'm concerned by the, you know, basically national opposition figures that have remained silent up to this point. I mean, part of the problem is that for 10 years, the Democrats, and I mean, yeah, this makes sense because, you know, things have been so unprecedented and so crazy, but a lot of Democrats have been, you know, have used the tagline or the phrase, you know, like, this is a crucial moment for the future of our democracy, rights are at risk. And yeah, that's, you know, true now more than ever, but you know, I think you can say that, you know, things have been at risk for the last 10 years. And, you know, Democrats have really used the heck out of that phrase, and such people are becoming numb to it. Like, when I, you know, read that statement yesterday, I thought that was something I would have read several years ago. You know, think of when, what Trump was doing during the pandemic or his antics in his first administration. Because I feel like, and this is a greater political problem, that the, and the resistance to Trump is that just people are so worn out. One, they're worn out by Trump, but they're also worn out by the, you know, opposition, you know, like, you know, this is the next election, the most important election. Everything he does is harmful to your rights and the future of the republic. Well, that's all true. I think it's sort of the people that don't really pay attention, it might become numbing to them. So, you know, maybe not everyone will realize how this event is really, you know, the worst and is, you know, cause for most concern. That makes sense.
Well, I think it's very interesting. President Obama did release a statement as well saying more or less the same thing. And I, you know, for two former presidents to release statements like that, and I think Bill Clinton was actually more poignant, for him to say, you know, there are times in your life, and this is one of those times, where you have to speak out. I think that there's something going on in Minneapolis. There is something going on in Minnesota where people are being drugged from their homes, American citizens, where senior citizens are being taken out naked from their, you know, or in their underwear or whatever it is, you know, in 15-degree weather, where people are being killed. You know, this is not normal, and this is all being videotaped. Hasn't ICE figured out that people are videotaping everything that they're doing? It is an unbelievable situation, and I guess even in those other situations, although bad, they were not something like this, I don't think. Policy's policy, and people can vote if they want to vote, and, you know, the Congress is going to act how they're going to act. This is people being killed. I don't know that we even, you know, during the insurrection at the Capitol, you really couldn't pin that on anybody. Now, you could say what you thought, and heaven knows it even took, you know, what, 4 years of gathering information before a case could even be gotten together. So those are more obscure things. We're seeing in real time what's going on in Minnesota, and I think that's what's compelling these presidents to speak up, because I don't know what the other narrative is, and there is going to be no investigation. So what do you do besides speak out at this point?
I mean, that's a really good point, and it's, you know, scary that the Republican Party for so many years has been the party of limited government, and I don't want to say states' rights, because that's, you know, that term is indicative of something else, but they've always been proponents of a, you know, more limited federal government, and, you know, the ability of states to sort of, you know, do as they please. And, you know, as with about everything they do, you know, they're being highly hypocritical, and, you know, this party that is in favor of states' rights and limited government is, you know, not letting a state, you know, invest, you know, use their justice system as they're supposed to use it. And these, you know, these officers are going to get away with murder, at least for the next 3 years while Trump is in office. And, you know, that's concerning. So, yeah, I mean, all there is really is to speak up. And it might just be me, you know, for as long as I've been following this stuff, and I don't want to say burnout, but just, you know, this stuff sounds very similar to what I've heard in the past. And I know the circumstances are way different now, but it sounds a lot, you know, it just sounds similar to things I've heard in the past. All the, you know, this is a pivotal moment to speak up and all that stuff. But I certainly understand, and I think, you know, as things get crazier and crazier, more and more people are going to speak out or somehow voice their opinion, even if they, you know, aren't, they say they aren't political, which I don't understand, really, after 2016, how you're not political one way or the other. I don't know. It's just a discouraging time in terms of, because, you know, you want to be involved, you want to do the right thing, but when, you know, you have people basically running the government, running the media, who have the support of at least, you know, 45% of the country who will not do the right thing, who will do everything to prevent you from doing the right thing and undo the work you've done. You know, some people just think it's a game of wait and see what happens until, you know, someone is removed from office or the next election or the next presidential election. It's just,
well, that's the question. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, people are not leaving Minnesota. Protests are going on. How bad could this get, and where are we going?
I mean, again, back to the, we've repeated stuff for a long time, and I think a lot of people have long repeated the fact that Trump, you know, is using dictator-like tactics, wants to be a dictator. But, you know, I don't know if you, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, I think after the first shooting, he, you know, gave a statement to the press, and he, you know, said that these are third world country tactics. You only see uniformed military on the street in third world countries. And, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, this is where we end up. Yeah, we're, you know, we have so-called elections. We have, you know, a constitutional structure in place, sure. But nothing overrides the power of the military and the power of federal law enforcement. So I think that's where we're, unfortunately, where we're headed. You know, like, yeah, we'll, you know, still have structures of government, but, you know, all that is really, at least for the next few months, overridden by whatever the military wants to do. Because, you know, there's no, even if the Supreme Court and a unanimous 9-0 ruling says, get out of Minnesota, stop killing people, turn over the two ICE officers to the state prosecutors for prosecution, none of that was going to happen. And, you know, the you know, Trump administration will find an excuse to invalidate the Supreme Court, to invalidate the law, claim whatever they want. So, you know, my honest thoughts are we are turning, I don't know what the term is, but, you know, you see all these third world countries. Yes, they, you know, have elections, they have presidents, they have governments, but, you know, it's really the military that runs the show. And I think that's where we're headed.
Well, two comments from one of our listeners out there this morning. One listener says it's heartbreaking to hear a 19-year-old say they're discouraged. And from the other listener, Pam Bondi's offer to pull federal agents out of Minnesota in exchange for political voter rolls suggests that this is politically motivated attack. And what do we call a political motivated attack against our citizens?
You know, the thought that it kind of ties into that. If we've set the precedent where we can send federal law enforcement into cities, and, you know, there's a pivotal midterm election coming up, what's preventing, you know, these federal agents from going into, you know, majority liberal precincts, you know, whether they are, I'm just thinking the groups that tend to vote, you know, heavily Democratic, go into those precincts, line up near, you know, high turnout voting places and, you know, intimidate people and, you know, keep, you know, try to prevent them to coming, you know, from coming out to the polls, you know, that should be a concern. You'll have, you know, you'll have the federal government using the tactics that, you know, the Ku Klux Klan did in the South to prevent people from coming out to vote. I mean, that's a possibility. But, you know, I'm curious why, if the, you know, logical argument you're trying to make is, you know, we'll give you a deal, but you give us your voter rolls. Like, yeah, it's inherently political, but to, you know, Trump supporters, it's, well, you know, we just want the voter rolls to, you know, make sure there's no illegal immigrants on there, which, you know, that's the logic for half of the country. But a lot of people don't know illegal immigrants can't vote. They can't register to vote. They cannot go vote in an American election. You have to be a citizen. You have to be a naturalized. You have to be a, you know, natural born citizen or a naturalized citizen to vote in an American election. So much of this fear mongering, it's just people that unfortunately have no idea how civics of the law works. And, you know, I think, just, you know, so many people think, and you go back to 2020, a big basis for, you know, Trump's claims where they were non-eligible voters voting in elections, which if his people or he knew you have to be a citizen to vote in an election, those concerns wouldn't have been fanned on like they were.
Well, it's... Well, from one of our listeners out here, they said we call it domestic terrorism. So here we are, and I don't know.
Domestic terrorism. And just, yeah, everything's domestic terrorism. And I'm really, you know, at a point, the Democratic Party, you know, you can't have, I don't think after this you have moderates out there. I don't think you can continue to have moderates who are, you know, they say, we need to lower the temperature. We need to start getting along. We need to, you know, start talking with each other again. Of course, that is the ideal dream, but that's not how Congress works. Ever since Obama has been president, that's not how, you know.
No, but you know,
sit down and talk with each other.
I think you and I had a conversation this past summer about this, where I said one of the major problems with the Democratic Party, statewide, locally, and nationally, is nobody will walk into a meeting and change the tone in the room. They will not say, listen, you're not doing a good job here. We've got to fix this. Something is wrong. This is not working. We've been beating our heads against the wall for months and years and days. This has got to stop. It never happens because it seems as if you don't want to irritate somebody or you don't want to burn bridges. And they're all like that. They don't want to alienate their friends. They don't want to alienate their people. Where's Amy Acton's comment on any of this? Jesse Ventura certainly is commenting, and he's a former governor of Minnesota. I don't know who the local Democrats are here anymore. Where's Scott Kreider's comment on? I mean, I just don't see it for things that people find so egregious. Where's the grassroots?
You know, it's not even just the Democrats. There's still, you know, people, I maintain they're closeted Republicans, but people who say, I just wish we would have, you know, more moderate politics. I wish we would just turn down the temperature and everyone would start.
Well, where's Governor DeWine?
You know, that's a great question. And I think just in this age, you know, you just, it's especially going into this next election and the next presidential election. Look at what the Republicans are doing. Look at their tactics. Look at their hardline messaging. The Democrats want people to take a stand. They want, you know, hardline messaging. They want someone who's going to, you know, Republicans they've always had the mindset, we can win elections with just Republican votes. And Democrats never think that way. They think, oh, we need to cater to the 2% of undecided voters. You know, no. I think the Democrats need to start playing nationally. Now, this, of course, if you're in Marion or if you're in Ohio, I don't know if you should take this hardline approach, but still be, poignant in your messaging. You know, you got to have the approach like, look, we can't be complacent. We can't keep writing strongly worded letters while the Republicans shoot and kill people in the street. I mean, you know, Trump said he could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any voters. And I mean, this is what's happening now. So I think that the Democrats in 2026 need to have a much stronger message. And in 2028, I think the Democrats need to have a plan. Like, how do you rebuild our institution? Like, I don't know how anyone in the Trump administration doesn't face criminal prosecution and doesn't spend the rest of their life in prison. You know, like the Stephen Millers and the Christie Gnomes of the world, you know, the guy who's running ICE right now. Like, you know, people are dying. You know, you are violating, you know, the rights of so many people, so many fundamental laws. I mean, there's got to be some sense of justice here. Like, you can't, 4 years can't pass, and you can't, you know, you can't pardon everybody and say, you know, we're going to forgive everybody and move on as a country. It's, you know, you got to get justice for people, like, you know, folks who were killed. You know, you've got to have, I don't want to say more aggressive, but you've got to, you know, give your supporters a reason to come out and support you. You've got to give your supporters a viable opposition, because, you know, if you portray yourself as we're the Democrats of old and we're just going to lay back and let Republicans do whatever they want, people aren't going to support you. People aren't going to vote for you in the midterms. People aren't going to vote for you in the next presidential election.
And
I mean, I don't know. Like, you've just got to be a viable opposition.
Well, and I think the message from one of our listeners this morning, another one of our listeners, they are followers, not leadership. No guts, no glory. And I guess that's where we are.
Know.
You know, we'll see what anybody else has to say. But Christian, thanks for calling in, and stay warm. And if we have any time before we run out of time this morning, if somebody calls in and says something you want to put an exclamation point on, feel free to call back in.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Well, I think I about just lost our telephonic communications as it took a dive there on the floor. But the phone lines are open with 10 minutes left to go, 50 minutes past the hour here. Snowy level 3 Monday morning, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I want to give you a number. Maybe listeners might want to call. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121.
Okay, give that to me again.
202-224-3121.
All right.
If anybody wants to call that and try to get a hold of our representatives and, you know, voice their opinion on what's happening, that's the number.
202-224-3121. And what do you make of this whole thing?
I just never thought in my lifetime that anything like this would happen. I never thought Trump was going to get elected the first time. I don't know. I mean, with him, it's a constant lie. Everything comes out of his mouth. Everything he's involved with is the greatest thing ever. His cognitive test, he aces up. Every time he talks about something, he can't help but trying to give himself credit. You know, I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I thank you for the number, and thank you for calling in. Stay warm.
Okay.
All right, again, phone lines are open here, 52 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. We are broadcasting, again, from the home office this morning because of the weather situation. But the phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. 52 minutes past the hour here. Level 3, snow emergency here in the Marion area. Don't really know what the exact totals of the accumulation are at this point. We've heard anything from 3.9 to 13 inches here in Marion. I don't know. I don't know. It's all very interesting as we go on down the road. But what's going on in Minnesota, Minneapolis, certainly a hot button in this country right now, and certainly something people do want to talk about. And if you'd like to talk about it, feel free to buzz in 740-751-4038. Again, remember, we are not in the studio today. It is a remote broadcast, so if you have any opinions on this, 740-751-4038. I do think it's very interesting that when the last shooting in Minnesota happened, there was some opposition to it. Well, there was some defense of it, I guess is what I should say. Not a whole lot of defense coming in this particular case. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. You know, Christian said some things, and he's a young man closer in age to my son's than he is to my own. And I was thinking about some things that he said. You know, I kind of rely heavily on him and his generation and my son to bail us out of the poor mistakes that we've made and their willingness to go to the ballot box for us. But when he said, you know, about having armed troops or however we want to put it, armed people near voting places, I thought, boy, that really could sway an election, because as you and I, it made me think of, as I told you, my experience at Christmas. It was Christmas Eve. The National Guard had been deployed to Memphis, and I was not comfortable even just browsing shops when there's someone standing with, you know, I don't have a problem with guns. My family, my father-in-law was a firearms dealer for many years, so I don't have a problem with guns, but I don't like armed, the feeling that I'm in an area where I need armed people. Like, I don't like that. You know, if I'm in such an area that's so unsafe, and I don't want to be there, but it wasn't that unsafe, and I didn't like the feeling of troops standing in the middle of just civilian life, you know, and I feel like that's what they're trying to desensitize us to, is to getting used to seeing troops, or then it's now Christian is thrown into the mix, keeping us uncomfortable by seeing them because you might get shot in the back 10 times or shot in the face, so you just comply. So it really is scary, and to hear, you know, a young person his age already be so pessimistic, and I understand he has good reasons why. You know, I've got 30 years on him for my jadedness, but to hear already that he has so little faith in the system, it hurts a little.
Well, the congressional switchboard number, 202-224-3121.
Unfortunately, I don't think we have much hope in Ohio, but people pay attention to these other House and Senate elections around the United States. Maybe consider donating your money there if Ohio's a foregone conclusion in some races. Maybe flip some other seats, help flip some other seats in some other states.
And by the way, pay attention to your state rep races. Pay attention to your gubernatorial races. Pay attention to your Senate races this year here in Ohio. Pay attention. And also pay attention.
I meant our national politics are kind of set at the moment, so we can't help affect other states. But yes, locally, our state seats are up for grabs. So we need to just pay attention more. If people getting shot in the face and in the back 10 times haven't gotten your attention, I don't know what will.
Well, and by the way, how do those state reps sometimes are easier to reach than the Congress people? What's their opinion on this? Are they going to try to spin you on this, or do they actually have an opinion?
Well, it's kind of hard to get people to believe something other than what their eyes didn't see, even though there are people that are willing to do it.
Well, at least that tells you who they are.
What do you think is going to happen with city council? Totally off the topic. But yeah, if they're willing to believe even something that their eyes, something other than what their eyes saw, yes. But what do you think is going to happen to city council? Because the water meeting is supposed to be tomorrow.
You know, I don't know. I really am not sure where that's all going to lead. I'm sure they're not going to go.
Does it just get skipped?
Huh?
Does it just get skipped, you think?
Well,
and like everything would count as a second reading, like it just never happened. You know what I mean? Like they would just resume business wherever they were.
That could happen. I think there'll be strongly worded statements and things of that nature, but I don't really know in the end what you can do. honestly.
Oh, no, no. I meant, like, our city council meeting tonight. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, at the meeting tonight? Well, I think there'll be some talk about...
Do you think it'll be canceled?
I don't know. It'll depend on if the level 3 comes up, I think.
I don't think anyone will go. I was just wondering what you thought. No, I don't think any of them will say anything, because they're probably, you know, their Lord and Savior Donald Trump did it, and they're definitely not going to buck him.
Well, it'd be interesting.
I was out getting signatures for Shabber the other day, and I didn't realize, but I was right in Twyla Lang's area, and I'm like, who has Mark Davis signs in their yard? He's not running. Oh, Weslyn Davis. Oh, that's my city council person's house. So.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hey, I got signatures for Jason from someone across the street from Prater, too. It was amazing how many council people's houses I was across the street from this week getting signatures for Jason.
You were around rounding them up.
Rounding them up. And on that note, maybe tonight if there's a meeting, I'll see you. If not, see you when I see you.
See you. Bye-bye. As far as we know, city council is going to take place tonight. We haven't been told any different. 30 seconds left in the program today. Again, everybody stay safe. We're still on a level 3 as far as I've been informed. So be careful on the roads. Don't risk it. It is cold, 6 to 7 degrees outside. Not a time to take any chances. I hope everybody made it through the weekend safe. I hope everybody's safe this morning. I thank you for listening to this remote broadcast with all the call-ins. And we'll be back tomorrow morning at 8:15. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley is